ninepence.
I'm not dead.
What?
Nothing. Here's your ninepence.
I'm not dead.
Here. He says he's not dead.
Yes, he is.
I'm not.
He isn't?
Well, he will be soon. He's very ill.
I'm getting better.
No, you're not. You'll be stone dead in a moment.
Oh, I can't take him like that. It's against regulations.
I don't want to go on the car.
Oh, don't be such a baby.
I can't take him.
I feel fine.
Ever see those Mayhem commercials? You know the ones, the guy sitting in a tree called Mayhem and he falls on your car? That commercial's about auto covers, but what happens if you're actually in the car? Ouch. Jeremy Hallett's here and he has quite a personal story and a story about why you should have the right amount of life insurance. Live from my parents' basement, it's The Short Stack, a smaller show that features a single interview with the Stacking Benjamins guest who has an idea so awesome, Mom wanted us to give it a special, less long show all its own. This is episode 174-A. What's the A stand for? It's for adequate insurance coverage. We rarely talk life insurance on this show. Why? Well, it's hard for me to find ways to do it in a way that doesn't bore me personally silly. I promise that's not going to be the case today because Jeremy Hallett had one moment of his life that changed everything for him. And now he's advocating life insurance coverage after being homeless and traveling the world. He'll talk about sleeping in his car, chasing women, the power of slimy used car salesmen, and why you need life insurance on today's show. Before we say hello to Jeremy, we have to say a big thank you to everyone who's used stackingbenjamins.com/magnify money to streamline their financial tools. Whether your checking account stinks or your savings account pays an embarrassingly low rate, or you're looking for the perfect rewards card, check out the most thorough reviewer on the internet, magnifymoney.com. In only a few keystrokes, you'll be able to compare, ditch, switch, and save. Use stackingbenjamins.com/magnify money to tell Nick, Brian, and the team that we sent you. They have this awesome debt-free guide at Magnify Money. While you're there, you can stop and pick that up as well. All right. Hey, let me tell you about Jeremy Hallett. I knew nothing about Jeremy or his company, Quotacy, about 3 weeks ago. Quotacy is Quotacy. By the way, it's Quotacy.com. I'm sure Jeremy and I are going to cover this in the interview, but I went there and it was actually fun. How often do you talk about life insurance and say anything remotely close to fun? I have to tell you, I don't know. I'm so passionate about disability and long-term care insurance that I can actually have fun talking about those. And fun might not be the right word, but I get really passionate. But whenever anybody says life insurance, there's so many, I don't know, there's so much slime and it's so opinionated and so many opinions are half baked. And I get very frustrated, but that site was very fun. But the story of this guy behind the company, though, I like equally as much. I mean, I love it when I hear passion in people's voice. Ted Gonder last week on our Short Stack last week, talking about bringing education to schools. You heard it from him, didn't you? Or David Bach, even a couple weeks ago on when I asked about educating women and why that was important to him. Holy moly. You could hear, like, you could hear a little passion in David's voice before that. But after I asked him, it was amazing. It's like he went from a 10 to 11, to quote Spinal Tap. So Jeremy Hallett, well, he's equally passionate about life insurance, and that's why I invited him onto today's show. So here he is, Jeremy Hallett from Quotacy.com, coming down to the basement. And Jeremy Hallett from Quotacy joins us. Welcome to the basement, Jeremy.
Oh, thank you for the welcome, Joe. I really appreciate being here.
Well, now, you have quite a past. Were you homeless at one point?
Yeah, so you heard about it. Well, being homeless was a decision for me. So there's all kinds of people out there in the world where it's not. So they have a whole different experience than I did. I'm sure about that.
How did you decide, you know what, we're going to do something different than the track most people take?
Well, I decided it was time to go explore the world a little bit. So I jumped in my car, gave away all my possessions, and rolled out west. I have a friend of mine who once said, all nuts roll out west. And so I guess as a nut, I rolled west and hung out with friends and made new ones and slept in my car and learned that a Mercury Topaz is not a very comfortable bed. And sleeping in the driver's side having pedals and stuff by your feet is a very uncomfortable scenario.
How long did you do that for?
I did it for a whopping 5 months.
Did you really? And then how did you wind up in Japan?
Well, I met a very sweet young lady who I'll call an angel in my life, Mahumi.
Is that the way all these stories start, by the way? I met a lady, and then I end up...
I met a lady. I don't think the story started with a lady, but the Japanese story started with a lady.
All right, cool.
Yeah, so anyway, she met me in California, actually, on the Fisherman's Wharf, which is, I think, the second most highly populated tourist area in the world, globally. And I was playing my saxophone underneath, I think it's Pier 39, but at this point I don't remember. There's a big sign with a wheel on top of it, and they serve all kinds of soup and stuff there, and birds are everywhere. Anyway, one of these birds flew over us, and her and I were talking, and some of the dropping landed on the two of us, and she said that was good luck, and within a few days she said, why don't you move to Japan with me?
That's amazing. What do they call that? Were you playing with a hat out? What's it called, busking?
I guess I never heard a name for it. I thought it was getting food and figuring out how to survive.
How much money would you make doing that?
You know, I made enough money to buy a cigar, a pack of American Spirits, a small bottle of Hennessy, beer, and food. And then at some point, I decided to move into one of the weekly motels there and pay my $90 a week. So I suppose I was making, I don't know, $50 to $100 a day.
I love how the beer and the Hennessy come before food. That's the most important part.
Well, it was really important. That was sort of the day.
That's right. Yeah, that's awesome. And then so from Japan to life insurance, you know, as a guy that's a former financial planner, Jeremy, I just can't get there. So how does that story morph into life insurance?
Well, I started a business when I was in Japan teaching English, and I was a really cute 25-year-old. I actually wish I could go back to those days. And when I decided it was time to leave Japan, I came home, which was to Fargo, North Dakota, for any of your listeners who ever watched that movie, Fargo. And we do speak like that, by the way. I moved back to Fargo, and I thought, what am I going to do? I started being a car salesman on a used lot with a giant yellow sign that said used cars on the side of the interstate. And I tried my hand at used cars for a few months.
Wow. So then I guess then used cars didn't go that well, and then you moved over to insurance?
You know, actually, the used cars, I was really good at it.
Were you?
I remember there was one day that I met a man who'd moved into Fargo, and he was going to a small city in North Dakota, and he was upside down on this truck, and he was a really nice guy, and we spent about 2 hours together, and we were having a conversation, and he had things on his arms. They looked like sores of some kind. How the world is serendipitous in some ways about teaching you things. And I'd read a story about sores on arms were part of HIV, or when AIDS had kicked in, that's what happened. And he had two Tiggers in his truck next to one another, so I assumed that he was gay, and I asked him about that, and he did have AIDS, and we started talking about that, and I'd never really met anyone who was going through full-blown AIDS. Anyway, through the course of our conversation, we picked a small little tracker, I think is what it was, that he was going to get out of his car and get into. And anyway, he was going to come back the next day. So he came back the next day. And when he came on the parking lot, my manager came over to me. And my manager said, hey, we're going to screw this guy over for bias and whatever else. And I went out and I talked to the guy and I said, you can't buy a car from me. So anyway, he turned around and started going back to his truck. I don't like to. Anyway, started going back to his truck. And I walked back in and my manager came to me and said, where's he going? I said, well, he decided not to buy from me. And the guy said, well, if he doesn't buy, you're going to get fired. So I did something I'll never forget, Joe. I walked out the door and I went and got the guy. And I told him he needed to buy the car from me. And I gave him to my manager. And they probably gave him a 30% interest rate, and I went out back and I guess smoked some cigarettes, and I cried like a little baby, and I thought, I am not going to be this person. This is not the life for me.
Oh, that's horrible.
It was horrible. And anyway, I got on the phone and I called my dad, who had an insurance brokerage firm, and I said, you know, I grew up with this and I believe in insurance, and I just did something that I don't know if I'll ever truly get over. Would you let me come on and be your employee?
Wow. That is absolutely powerful. Isn't it funny how a lot of the times when we're selling stuff, we think we're teaching lessons, right? And a lot of times it's our customers teaching us the lesson.
Oh, he taught me just an amazing lesson. And I look back on that and it's been a driving force in my life to truly live my values, no matter what it is, whatever decisions are faced with me and whatever consequences I have. I've made a decision to never be weak again in my life.
It sounds like you're a person that would be very comfortable with that Zig Ziglar phrase of help as many people as possible get what they want, and you'll always get what you want.
And it's the truth. And that's kind of how we started our whole company. I mean, that's what this is all based on.
Well, let's talk about, I want to talk about Quodacy here in a second, because I love, as a former financial planner who had to explain life insurance to people and why they need X amount of life insurance, I love the way your website very quickly, like I'm going to say within 60 seconds, I knew how much life insurance I needed and there were toggles that I could play, but we'll get to that later. I want to start off with some of the misconceptions that people have around life insurance, because as a guy who would talk to people about insurance, Jeremy, I know just how many there are, but the first question people always had for, well, not always, but I had a bunch of people that said, how truthful do I really need to be with an insurance company, right? Can I lie about my smoking? Can I tell them that I don't do these things? Maybe the cancer is going to go away. I mean, that's not joking,
right?
But how truthful do we need to be with the insurance company?
That's a great point. Well, we can be as truthful as we want to anyone we meet, right? I mean, it's our own choice. But we should be very truthful with our insurance companies. These insurance carriers are really good at what they do, Joe. So when you go to these insurance companies, they come, they do a blood draw on you. So they do a test called a cotinine test to find out if you actually smoke. They can tell. They order up medical records from your doctor. And I don't know if you know this, but your doctor writes down everything you say to them, which is really good, because when we look back over time, they're able to have a full working knowledge of all the health issues and concerns that you've brought up to them. But these insurance companies order up all your medical records. So they do figure out whether you're telling them the truth or not. And really, it's actually okay to tell the insurance companies the truth. They're much more forgiving than we give them credits for.
What do you mean? How are they forgiving?
Well, you know, these insurance carriers at this point, they know that if you smoke stuff you're not supposed to, at least in most states of the union, you know, a lot of carriers are okay with that. If you've had a DWI, the carriers they're going to be okay with that. Like Prudential, for example, which is a pretty large company out there.
Sure.
Prudential has a saying, Joe. They say that we can forgive pretty much anything that anyone did while they were in their 20s. So, you know, they're out there to help people and help families. That is what their ultimate goal is.
So they'll forgive the night that I was at 3:30 a.m. with my brother crying and hugging each other in the parking lot for no apparent reason, just because we were really drunk?
They're really going to be okay with that. It's not going to be.
I still remember that night. My wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, still teases me about the night. She's like, I have no idea what you two were doing. No,
sobbing, no. And hugging, man. That's what brothers are supposed to do together.
Yeah,
sometimes.
It was a big I love you, man moment, you know? What about pricing for insurance? Because I know another thing, you know, whenever I would talk to people about insurance, I'm talking about how their kids are going to be destitute when they die, right? And they're not right. Thinking about that at all. They're thinking about cash flow. Every single person, it seems like, especially people in their 20s, are thinking about cash flow with insurance. Any misconceptions there?
No, oh, there's a ton of misconceptions. The statistics out there say that people believe life insurance costs 3 times as much as it actually does, which is significant when we're looking at a latte a day or a latte a week, and we're talking about $20, $30. If someone thinks it's $60, $70 a month for coverage, and it's really only going to cost them $25 or $30 or whatever, that can be a significant disadvantage to going into the scenario. The other thing with pricing on these policies that are out there, these insurance companies, they have really big buildings, Joe. Have you noticed that the tallest buildings and, you know, they all have insurance names on them?
Yeah, like the Transamerica Tower in San Francisco, speaking of San Francisco.
It's a huge tower, and people look at it and they think, wow, these insurance companies must be making a lot of money. And in a way, they are. But if you think about it, at least up until this free money that's been happening out there since the crash of 2008, the insurance company was one of the largest savings vehicles of the country, because people put money in and money in for long-term need. It's almost, you know, life insurance could be thought of as a savings account for when you die. So you're putting money away. And if you at least buy a permanent plan, you're looking at 50, 60, 80 years of saving money to get that 250, 1 million, whatever dollar policy that comes to you. So these insurance companies hang on to all that money and they have to put it somewhere and they want to get good return on their money. And they built these giant buildings and they rent them out.
There's permanent policies like whole life coverage and variable universal life coverages. And then there's term insurance coverages and, of course, hybrid type policies. Do you think one is better than the other, or is it kind of like a Swiss Army knife where they're all better for a different reason?
I hear the Swiss Army knife all the way, although I do have a bias towards making sure that a family or a business has enough coverage to begin with. So it kind of begins with, if the need determined is $800,000 of coverage or $300,000 of coverage for a family, the goal first is to make sure that there's an affordable price that can get them to that number. But some of those permanent policies, the whole lives and the universal lives that are out there in the marketplace, they're also very good savings vehicles. And if you have the cash flow to put money away for that, fantastic. But again, my bias is to make sure that the family has enough coverage to satisfy the needs if or when the provider passes away.
Yeah, I see sometimes insurance agents, and we get questions about this on the show sometimes, where an insurance agent will tell somebody who's 23, just out of college, buy insurance now because it's really cheap. This is somebody who just has maybe student loan debt, has no dependents, no house that they own, no nothing. Is that an insurance agent trying to make a buck, or do they have a good point?
Well, insurance agents have a really hard life talking about life insurance. You know, Woody Allen had that saying, hell for me is sitting across the desk from an insurance salesman. So, you know, I mean, that's a hard world. But if anyone has a family or has employees that actually depend on your income, you know, the answer is yes. There's very few situations where you wouldn't need life insurance. If no one depends on you for your income, then maybe you don't need life insurance. But that 23-year-old you're talking about, you know, he or she might have had their parents co-sign on a student loan. And federal loans have a discharge policy for death, so those aren't there. But there are lots of private student loans that are out there that mom or dad co-sign. So that 23-year-old, if they were to die, not only would mom or dad be burying a child, which from what I understand is one of the hardest things to do in life, they also might get stuck with a $80,000 or $100,000 in student loans that they keep paying for the next 20 years.
Hey, everybody, got to take a quick break from talking with Jeremy to say thanks again to everyone who's used stackingbenjamins.com/magnify money to find better checking accounts, savings accounts, and credit card options. Actually, you should be thanking me for telling you about it. It should be the other way around. But we are happy people go there because it helps us keep a sponsor that we really like. It always amazes me, with the power of the web and a team like Nick Bryan and their crew at Magnify Money, that people will just drive down the street and they'll open up a bank account by picking a bank at random and saying, what do you got? We comparison shop everything from cheaper gas to blue jeans. Why don't we look at the products we use to buy those things? Our savings account, our checking account, our credit cards. So here's what you do, and it's super easy. Head to stackybenjamins.com/magnify money and see in 2 minutes or less the right checking, savings, or credit card for you. They're all neatly arranged there. It's pretty cool. All right, here's the question. Have you had that moment in your life like Jeremy had selling used cars? I can say I definitely have. When I was a teenager, I was hired to load a truck full of live chickens to be slaughtered. Literally, I had to reach in with a gloved hand and pull the chicken out of its little cage and then stick it in a portable cage that went on a truck so that they could slaughter the chicken. It was me and a bunch of other teenagers. And I wasn't doing it well. I was letting the chickens get away. And the guy that hired me finally demonstrated before he fired me. He didn't end up firing me. I'll get to that in a minute. But it was either show me how to do it right or let me go. So he decided to show me. And he showed that you just opened up the coop really quickly, because otherwise you just scare the chicken. Open it up really quickly and grab both the legs as fast as you can and pull the chicken out by the legs. And sure, he explained that the chicken would flap its wings, but the chicken was on its way to die anyway. So who cared if, when the wings opened up and they were bigger than the door, if you just kept pulling, you know? Obviously, you know what happens then. The chicken's wings both snap and break, and the chicken makes this horrible, horrible noise. So for the next hour, I reached in, grabbed the legs of the chicken, pulled. I heard this click, click as the wings broke. The chicken would howl. What's the chicken wasn't happy. And I would stick it in the pen and let it go. Anyway, my brother and I, we sat down at our first break that morning and pretended like we were going to our car to get something, and we left and we never came back. That day changed everything for me about what I wanted for myself, about what I didn't want to do myself, and how I saw myself and my role with other things. That was my aha moment. I'd love to hear your aha moment. I'm going to post that question over on our Facebook page at facebook.com/iStackBenjamins. Love to hear what your aha moment like Jeremy's was. All right, let's get back to my discussion with Jeremy Hallett from Quotacy. What are some of the weirdest reasons you've seen people buy life insurance?
Oh, weird reasons people buy life. I don't know if there are weird reasons that people buy life. And that's a great question, Joe. I'm thinking through. Have you seen people buy insurance for a weird reason?
I don't remember that it was the reason why they bought insurance, but I remember them not wanting to be truthful on the app because of almost what we were kind of alluding to earlier. These people had a $600 a week line item on their budget they didn't want to talk about. And then we were talking about insurances too. And they said, well, we don't apply for insurance because of that $600 line item that they classified as entertainment on their budget.
Yeah.
And it turned out they spent $600 a week smoking pot. Well, now what's funny is I can't say I'm a pot smoker myself, but people that I know who know better than I say that's a lot of pot. Like that's a ton of pot. So there's a reason somebody didn't buy life insurance.
Well, you know, actually today that person really could get. I won't say that when I was a nut rolling out west that I did or did not inhale, Joe, but the insurance companies today, especially because of what's happened in Colorado and Washington and right. What's going on out there in the marketplace with, states trying to drive revenue and or using it for health concerns, insurance carriers are, lots of them are forgiving about the marijuana usage even today. So I'm not sure about $600 a week. I wonder if their lungs are coated green. But there are insurance carriers that will still issue those people policies and still in the non-smoker range and possibly ding them very little from a pricing perspective.
That's amazing. When it comes to applying for life insurance, I think, okay, the reasons why I would need to apply for life insurance are, so the first one I can think of is to replace my income, right? I pass away and family members need my income. What are the other things that factor into the reasons I would need life insurance?
Well, the first immediate reason after funeral expenses is really what they call the transition period. So especially a lot of families today are dual income families, or they're even single income families with a single parent. So that period right after someone dies is a very stressful time from anxiety. There's a depression. You just lost a partner in life, or your children just lost a parent. It's a really big deal. So there's a period of time, 3 months to, well, forever.
Yeah,
but, where things are really actually extremely difficult. You know, the transition period kind of comes in one. You said replace income, which I think is fantastic. But what does that actually mean? And I don't know if you've been at the bank lately, but to get a CD, I don't think you can get over 1% or 1.5% on a CD today.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, replacing an income actually becomes the biggest component of it, of a life insurance policy, because widows and widowers typically don't spend principal. They spend the income that generates off the principal, and they look forward 20, 30 years as part of retirement, or what if this goes away, or how do I take care of the kids if there is a really big problem or if something happened to me? So when you get 1.5% or 2% or 3% on your money under management, you know, it takes a lot of money to drive a small amount of income.
Yeah, so you need to be able to either create some type of a portfolio with stocks and bonds in it, or if you want to be really conservative, to buy an annuity that'll create this income stream that'll last forever.
Yeah, last forever or last for 10 years or however it makes most sense from you in your circumstance, individual circumstance that you're sitting in.
Do you hear this baloney, Jeremy? Because I used to hear this all the time, that my spouse will get remarried after I die.
I hear that, and then they're going to buy a convertible, and their new boyfriend or girlfriend's going to be driving it.
Right. I don't want Cheryl to have to be sitting at the singles bar, 2 weeks after I've kicked the bucket, because that's our plan. I just don't want that to be the case.
No. I have a really good friend of mine. He's gone through some cancer issues, And he just lost his dog about 2 weeks ago. His dog and him went out, and his dog went on long walks into the woods, and he'd throw the frisbee and his dog would run in, and a couple minutes later the dog would come out with the frisbee, and it was their thing. Anyway, he threw the frisbee and his dog jumped up to get it and it immediately collapsed and he'd broken his leg. So oh, no. Randy picked up his dog, about a 60-pound dog, and carried his dog out of the forest that they were in their walk on, and found out that Macy, I think is her name, had had cancer, and they actually put her down within 3 days after that happened. So anyway, it was 5 days later, his wife came to him and said, all right, honey, I've been working with a dog broker, and we found another beautiful dog in Kentucky. You know, she's going to be flown here, and we're going to start with a puppy again. And then he kind of scratched his head, and he said, so Macy dies, and we're getting a new puppy within 5 days. He's like, what are you going to do with me? Is it in 5 days after I'm gone? Are you going to replace me? And he said, no, I'll wait 10. He told me that last night. I was like, oh. That does happen, though, with these. It is a fear that people have. But ultimately, if our goal is to have our families have happiness, and we are there, we're not there, they're the ones that have to keep on living. And that's not what happens anyway. You know, I mean, yeah. People respect their spouses. And, you know, when they pass on. But it is a fear. I do hear that on a regular basis, too.
It's funny. I actually heard a joke recently about a man and woman sitting with a financial planner who's figuring out how much life insurance the people need. And the financial planner's talking to the woman and says, so will you get remarried? And she's like, well, I don't know. And the guy goes, oh, come on, you're beautiful. You get remarried. And the, well, okay, I'll get remarried. And then he says, I know this is awkward, but will you live at your future husband's house, live at your house? Yeah. And she says, well, I suppose, I like my house. We probably live at my house. And the husband goes, oh, okay, well, we decide you get remarried, you live at our house. What, is he going to use my golf clubs? And she goes, no, he's left-handed. That's not the ending you're looking for.
No, that's not the ending that you're looking for. You'd also ask, Joe, the other reason that people do it is
yes.
The mortgage?
Yes.
Is mortgages. Mortgages are a really big expense in a family, and being able to just write a check and get rid of the mortgage and have the living expenses be significantly knocked down can be a significant relief to the family without a wage earner being, when a wage earner dies.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Well, I love sitting around telling insurance and nerd finance jokes, Jeremy. I'm glad I finally found my match. But but we should probably talk about the site, because when I went to Quotacy, as I was saying earlier, it took me like a minute to go through and find out just what my life insurance need is. Tell everybody about your company.
Well, Quotacy is an online life insurance agency, and our goal was to create something for the do-it-yourself consumer. So everything's changing in this world right now, and frankly, it is easy. And a lot of people that I've spoken with have, while I was creating this, said, oh, this is going to be millennials. This is going to be Generation Y that's going to use this, and maybe some X's. I'm an X, Joe.
Yep, me too.
What Quotacy was actually just written up in Barron's this weekend. So we got a really big uptick in data from, I'll just say, older people, baby boomers.
Yeah.
And so we had baby boomers in their 60s doing exactly what you just said, online, doing everything just like we expected them to. But it's amazing how people don't give credit to every generation for the amount of ease of technology if you take the time to build it the right way. We even had a 67-year-old actually apply this weekend on the site. It was built literally for all ages. This wasn't just built for the kids on the block.
This is crazy, but a design feature that I like that has nothing to do with whether your site works or not. I like how every time I check a button, it looks like I scribbled in the box.
Oh, isn't that great? We worked with a really great marketing firm, and those guys were like, they helped us create, our goal was to create something that was friendly. Because life insurance should be friendly. It should be a conversation. It's not fun to talk about death, and it's not fun to think about dying, even if all of us are going to do it at some point, unfortunately. So yeah, the scribbles are pretty good. It goes really fast and simple to go through this, isn't it? I mean, we don't ask a lot of questions, and they go by pretty fast.
Yeah, and the results that I got, what was cool was once I got my result, because I put in, just a baloney age and family and stuff just to see how fast I could do it. And what was cool was once you gave me how much insurance I needed, it broke down why. It said that, hey, you want to put two kids through college, here's the amount of money you have to spend on that. You want to pay off your mortgage. So if I decided afterwards, well, I don't want to pay off my mortgage, I know how much to take off the top. Like, it showed me piece by piece how you came up with that number, which I find a lot of times, you know, having dealt with insurance agents, they just give me a number. They don't break it up that easily. I really liked how visual it was.
Well, you know, and we're working in the online world right now, too. So if you'd gone to any of our, I'll call them competitive sites that are out there, they would have, the first questions they would have asked you were, what's your name, Joe? What's your phone number? And what's your email? And most of those are collected by marketing firms. And I was just looking at somebody who's been slooping me on LinkedIn, and they're very proud of the fact that they only sell your lead at a maximum of 4 times to 4 agents when you put in your name and your email and your phone number. That means you're going to get called by 4 different people, have emails coming through your box, and maybe your goal was only to find out how much does it cost.
You feel like you're back with the people running that used car lot, aren't you?
Oh, I do. And that was our goal, was really to create something that would do it. The other thing is the accuracy of these quotes is really close. We're tracking right between 60 and 70% of the time after you put in some of the questions we ask on the site are health, weight, or your height and your weight, family history, which is pretty big, and cholesterol medication and, you know, what you smoke, you know, e-cigarettes or regular cigarettes, or you haven't ever smoked, that type of deal. We're right 2 out of 3 times just based on those 4 questions, Joe.
I didn't even get that far. What I thought was cool, though, was that everything I just told you about, I could get without giving you any information about me. Yeah, I didn't have to put in my name or anything, and I knew my life insurance needs, so I love the way you built that. It's like, I felt like you trusted me. To stick around.
We trust you enough that we actually were doing the Lady Gaga approach, which is give it away for free and hopefully the world will take care of you. You know, our goal truly was to get as much life insurance out there as possible. And with the misconception of pricing being 3 times as high as it actually is, if you're going to buy from your neighbor anyway and you just want to look, I'm okay with that. Go to our site and check out the pricing. We don't ask for any contact information until the person says, okay, I want to buy. And of course, we need to know who you are and how to contact with you to go through the whole buying process.
Well, and I wanted to ask you about that. And actually, even before I say that, is that I try not to make our podcast like I'm a fanboy because I don't want this to be a commercial. I was amazed by how easy and how, and this is going to sound silly talking about life insurance, how fun it was. But at the end of the process, if I'm purchasing insurance through you, you know, Progressive gives a lot of talk about how many different insurance agencies they go through, how much they price it out with different places. If I decide, okay, I want to buy insurance through Quotacy, how many different insurance companies are you sending my information to try to figure out which one's going to be best for me?
So we work with 16 A-rated carriers, which is pretty much the entire marketplace from the out there. And then from a pricing perspective, looking at how do we send it out and what do we do, setting expectations is also a really big joke because nobody wants to go into something and get blindsided by a price on the back end, right? I mean, that's huge. So with 16 carriers, we're able to, we actually ask a lot of health questions when we go through the application process or what we call the pre-application process. And then we take all of that so that if you have sleep apnea or something else, we actually then go ahead and take that information. If we have to collect a little more from you, we do. But then we go to all 16 carriers and we say, how would you treat this person? So even though you might have said, okay, I'm going to buy Prudential, but I've got cancer history, which you can get insurance if you have cancer history, we can come back and say maybe Pru wasn't the right carrier. Maybe it's Genworth or Banner or John Hancock or MetLife or any one of the other major carriers that are out there. And we can set those expectations up front rather than get it on the back end.
Well, what's coming up for Quotacy? What are you guys doing next? Are you turning it into an app or what's going on next?
Well, you know, we don't have to do it in an app. There's all this cool programming. We didn't done it in the last year, so it does work on all mobile devices. And I don't know anything about this programming language, but when I make the screen smaller, it just changes itself to go onto an iPad, and then it changes again to get on a mobile device. It's pretty cool.
That's neat. So where are you going from here? What's the next big thing you guys are working on?
Our big thing that we're working on right now is collecting data and helping people get their coverage put together. And then we're part of another company, Hallett Financial, which is, I'll call it the mothership. But we're taking all the data that we have here and what we've created, and we're working with financial advisors to give them the opportunity to offer no contact information quoting to work with their own clients to make the process easier so that we can actually truly get at this 18.9 million, which is the last statistic I saw of households that say they want insurance or want more insurance, and they haven't talked to anybody in the past 2 years.
Oh, I see. So financial advisors using the product to figure out the need and show on the screen what people's need is, and then they buy from there.
Actually, we're creating unique websites for the advisors. Got it. They have their own version of it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, if there's one thing, Jeremy, that you want people to get out of our time together, you've got somebody who's, let's say they're 25, just starting out a family, know nothing about life insurance, and you've got them for 30 seconds. What would you say to that person?
I would say to that person that now that they have people who depend on their income, they have a responsibility to take care of those people if a tragedy happens to them. And that even if it's just the cheapest term insurance possible, to go out, go through the process, and buy a policy to protect their family, no matter who it's from. Just get something so that if something happens to them, their family's going to be okay.
That's going to do it for this week, everybody. Hey, I've mentioned in the past, we play a game on these Short Stack episodes. What game? Well, I have not so cleverly hidden a game in the Friday Short Stack shows. We are in week 8 of this puzzle. So if at this point you're just coming to the party, you're going to want to hurry and start putting things together. It's actually pretty fun. Here's how it works. You go to the start of the Friday shows and only the Friday shows, put together clues that will be in the first couple minutes of each of the shows. There's one each week. At some point, you're going to have enough clues strung together that you can form a question. And actually, on this particular one, you have to add two words to the beginning. It's going to be who is. So you're going to come up with some words and it's going to be who is blank. That'll be the question. Email me, joe@stackingbenjamins.com, the question, your answer to the question. And if you are the first one, you know what? You will win a prize pack that we put together and a $20 Amazon gift card. By the way, I'm listening to this cool book on Audible called The Everything Store about Amazon. And maybe you've already listened to that or read that book. Fantastic book about Amazon and how they grew. Amazing. I knew a lot about Amazon, didn't know all this. So good stuff. Prize pack I'll put together specifically for you and a $20 gift card. That's it. So let's talk about next week, shall we? Because we got an awesome, awesome week coming up on our show Monday. The roundtable team's here and we have special guests galore. Thomas Frank from Listen Money Matters is going to join us. Linda P. Jones from Be Wealthy and Smart is going to join us. If you know those two, and then you know who we're going to throw in the mix, Greg McFarlane, our very own Greg McFarlane. You know what's going to happen. It's going to be a rousing discussion. We're going to talk mortgages, buying individual stocks, and lots more. On Wednesday, the guy who is responsible for the concept of this basement here, where we record as anyone, New York Times bestselling author and artist Austin Kleon is here. You've seen his work. He's that artist that makes sayings by blacking out newspapers and magazines to create just, he takes what looks like random words on the page and you put them together and it's a whole different thing that he's saying than what the original article intended. Awesome art. He also has two books that have amazed me. His second book was called Show Your Work. His first one, Steal Like an Artist, which is one of my favorite books of all time. It's mentioned in the Inc. piece that came out recently about our show, just how important Austin was. And we're incredibly excited that he's actually going to come down and talk to us about creativity. If you're new to the show, you might say, well, what's an artist doing on a finance show? Which would be an awesome question because over the course of this, we've had on comedians, we've had art forgers, the guy that broke the Cannonball Run record, the producers of the Jim Rome Show, Beauty and the Beast. It takes creativity to make money. And what Austin's going to share with you, I'm sure, is that you don't need to feel like a creative person to come up with new and innovative ideas. I'm always tired of hearing people say, but I'm not that creative. Austin's going to tell you, you can steal it. And how to steal it. On Friday, by popular demand, had a lot of people ask for this, emailing me, and we're going to deliver. We're talking peer-to-peer lending. What is it? If you're borrowing money, is it a good option? If you're investing, is it a great way to make money? We'll tackle that with Simon Cunningham from LendingMemo.com. That's our Short Stack on Friday. And that will end this 8-week season at the end of next week. It is time for us to clean up the basement down here, get the get the cans off the floor. And just if you saw this mess, you would know it's definitely time for us to take our week off. It's been a great last couple months, and I have to say a huge thank you to people that wrote me or wrote a review of the show this last week or even just this last 8 weeks. We tried again this week to earn your trust with another great week, not only by introducing you to people like Jeremy, but also bringing on CNN, Bloomberg, and CNBC alum Nicole Lappin. A big roundtable fight we brought to you on Monday. PK with another awesome segment, more craziness from Doug, and more. You make this show possible for us because you've supported us for nearly 3 years. You've invested your time in this podcast, and I can't tell you how grateful I am. And I want to make sure that you know that we're going to keep innovating. We're going to keep pushing to make this a show worth your time. So thanks for all the ratings in iTunes and Stitcher, for visiting our blog, for using stackybenjamins.com/Amazon when you buy stuff, or visiting our sponsor, Magnify Money, whatever it is that you've done. I owe you just huge, huge thanks. If you haven't given us a rating, please take a minute to do so. And I promise we're going to keep making this show worth your time by bringing more great guests and more fun your way, because you allow me to entertain myself and bring you along with me. So for now, time for you to go think about your life insurance. Go play over at Quodacy.com or look wherever you look for life insurance coverage. Are you protected? I can't tell you how amazing it felt when I finally bought life insurance to protect my family. I didn't expect to feel that good. I thought I'd feel, well, honestly, I felt like I'd be throwing money away. You know, it's just whenever I think about insurance, it's still all those years, even being a financial planner. And I always think I'm going to feel like it's throwing money away. But when I did it, I just felt so protected. It was a great feeling. So go do that. That's your homework. And we'll see everybody back here Monday, stacking more Benjamins.
This show is the property of the Free Financial Advisor, LLC, copyright 2015. The show is edited by Joe Salcihi and Isabella Bianca. Today's safety tip: don't record podcast endings while
What was that? It's called the medium sketch.
The medium sketch?
Yeah, it wasn't rare, and it certainly wasn't well done.